At Monsanto, we became an ag-focused company here about 7 or 8 years ago. We had a lot of products before then, but we became ag-focused just 7 or 8 years ago. And that was a real turning point in our history. We've been investing in agriculture, making a lot of real deliberate investments with the idea that we can make farmers more productive. But when we became ag-focused, we took another step back and said, what's it mean to be a leading ag company? And it took us a few years, I think, to get there. But this conversation about sustainability kind of hit us right between the eyes. We went out and started talking to a lot of people about agriculture and what doing more with less would look like. What would be important there? Here are some of the things we heard. We heard some people talk about demand and the fact that between now and 2050, we're going to have to produce more food on the same acres between now and 2050 than we've produced in the last 10,000 years combined. That's pretty substantial. That's going to get us to twice the level of annual food production in 2050 versus today. We also heard something, and John's a soybean farmer, so I'm going to pick on John. I'll ask John if he thinks he can do it. I'm sure he's an optimist, and he probably will say yes. But between now and 2025, which is just another 15, 17 years away, we need to actually increase soybean production just to beat the ban by 50%. Now, if you do the cumulative annual growth rate on that, that's pretty scary. So that's going to really put a major push on every commodity that's competing for an acre with soybeans. So what do you think, John? You going to? Yeah, okay. Water and resources. Water is really becoming a new topic of conversation. We've heard a lot about energy, but water is really starting to bubble up, if you will. On 18% of the agricultural land, it's about 250 million hectares globally that's irrigated, we produce 40% of our output. Just about all of that water that's being applied to those acres is under some sort of stress, economic stress or actual natural stress due to depleted aquifers, competition for those resources, etc. Virtual water. We're engaged in the practice of actually providing virtual water in the form of trade around the world. It's been said that we actually ship in the form of grain and in the form of water the annual flow of the Nile River 12 times around the world to meet demand today. So we're shipping water around the world in terms of virtual water, in terms of grain trade. Energy, you know, we've seen energy prices increase by about fourfold in the last 8 years. That's been shocking for a lot of us. It ripples through the ag chain, creates a lot of challenges. But by 2030, there's gonna be 50% more demand on the same energy resources than we have today. So ag's gonna come under more competition for those resources. The U.S. is going to come under more competition. So we've got a lot of those developing countries with emerging economies coming to the energy market for the first time. Greenhouse gas emissions, and this has been a hot topic in agriculture, but globally the IPCC says that agriculture contributes about 14% of greenhouse gas emissions globally. What they've also said that I think is even more important is another 17% of greenhouse gas emissions globally that's committed due to what's called land transformation. You may say, what is land transformation? That's clearing land for the energy, for the lumber, for the natural resources there, but then also committing that land back to agriculture. They say 17% of the greenhouse gas emissions globally are related to this land transformation. And then farmers. Today, there's still over a billion farmers in the world, and that's hard to believe. It's shocking. Here, we see the productivity that's really unleashed the labor force to move into the service sector, to move into the knowledge sector and add a lot of value here. But around the world, 1 out of 7 people are still actively engaged in producing food. So if we can do these things, this is what people told us. If you can produce more, if you can conserve more, and if you can improve farmers' lives, that's about being a leader in agriculture. And so in June, we made that commitment. We talked about the fact that our goal and our employees, our people, would be willing to step up to the plate and try to commit to be a leader in helping farmers achieve those things. We talked about wanting to try to double yields from the time of 2000, so using a base year of 2000 to 2030, in 3 important crops globally, corn, soybeans, and cotton. we really think we can do this. I know that Dr. Rob Fraley is going to share his vision about this when we take the pipeline tour. How do we do that? You know, I think a lot of people say, well, gosh, you've got a lot of productive acres already. How are you going to double yields? The shortest analogy I can give you is to talk about what the record corn yield was last year in the United States. And I think it was approaching 400 bushel to the acre. It's like 390 or something like that. Soybeans, the record yield was around 160 per acre. So we've got a lot of potential that we just need to let emerge. So the genetics are there, and we can bring biotech traits, we can bring better farm practices. We think the combination of all three of these things will help us improve yields greatly. But conserving more is just as important. So we've also talked about how can we do kind of meet the dual challenge of producing more while conserving more. And we've talked about this in terms of actually per unit of output produced, we want to help farmers reduce the amount of land, energy, and water they use by one-third per unit of output. Again, the key is going to be productivity. It's going to be putting better seeds in the farms, in the hands of farmers, better agronomic practices in place, and we think we can help farmers do this. And finally, improving farmer lives. Again, our basic business proposition is to a farmer, we have something that will help you make more money. We have seed offering, we have service, we have technology. And we think that we do this year in and year out. But our challenge is to keep doing it better. So our goal is to make every farmer that we serve better off the next year than they were the previous year. We've got a lot of studies that have documented how technologies help farmers do this. But that's our basic proposition. We know that we can do that in the U.S. We've proven that we can do that. But in developing countries, we think we also need to do that. So we've committed to helping 5 million resource poor farmers who are simply trying to feed their families do that. And that's our commitments. So when we listen, that's what we heard. We heard there's a lot of challenges. We've responded. And really now what we want to do is just work with the ag value chain, because we're not going to do this, you know, alone. It's going to be the we collectively that does this. So I look forward to hearing from the comments of others, and we just look forward to continue to listen and try to make progress on this big challenge.